Joseon Church. My name is Donald. I am the house church leader for Lion Rock House Church. And if you would like to join me, let's start with a brief word of prayer. God, be with us this morning as we gather to pray, to worship you, and to spend time with you, ultimately, Abba Father God. Speak to us today in our prayer time. Speak through me as I share this devotional. Just be with us, Abba Father God. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And so today we will be watching a video first on Matthew 15, 21 to 39.
Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him, crying out, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed and suffering terribly." Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, "Send her away, for she keeps crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." The woman came and knelt before him. "Lord, help me," she said. He replied, "It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." "Yes, it is, Lord," she said. "Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus said to her, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." And her daughter was healed at that moment.
Mama.
Jesus left there and went along the Sea of Galilee. Then he went up on a mountainside and sat down. Great crowds came to him, bringing the lame, the blind, the crippled, the mute, and many others, and laid them at his feet, and he healed them. The people were amazed when they saw the mute speaking, the crippled made well, the lame walking, and the blind seeing. And they praised the God of Israel. Jesus called his disciples to him and said, "I have compassion for these people. They have already been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. I do not want to send them away hungry, or they may collapse on the way." His disciples answered, "Where could we get enough bread in this remote place to feed such a crowd?" "How many loaves do you have?" Jesus asked. "Seven," they replied, "and a few small fish." He told the crowd to sit down on the ground. Then he took the 7 loaves and the fish, and when he had given thanks, he broke them. And gave them to the disciples, and they in turn to the people. They all ate and were satisfied. Afterward, the disciples picked up 7 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was 4,000 men, besides women and children. After Jesus had sent the crowd away, he got into the boat and went to the vicinity of Magadan.
And now if we could open up our one app, or if you want to go through your Bible, we're going to go to Ephesians 4, 26 to 28. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Okay, and then the devotional for today. Some years ago, I was walking with a childhood friend. My friend had just gone through a difficult divorce, and I was doing what I could to come alongside him. As we walked, he said, "You know, that verse when we learned as kids, don't let the sun go down on your anger and give the devil a foothold, it's true." Towards the end of this chapter on exhortation, Paul addresses anger, an issue which can do so much damage in our relationships. The author, pastor, and philosopher Dallas Willard said, "I have never done anything with anger that I could not have done better without." Where is the anger? Where is there anger in your relationships? Don't let your anger outlast today. All right. So I'm going to do a little diving into both of these passages today from my own devotional. So we'll start with the Matthew passage, focusing on the first portion of this passage we read, which is about the Canaanite woman asking Jesus for, healing for her demon-possessed daughter. And so a couple of things stood out to me, right? And so Christ's interaction with the Canaanite woman is an outlier within the context of Matthew. We know typically that Matthew was written to a traditional Jewish audience. And so, and even in Matthew 10, Christ calls his disciple to go and minister to the Jews, right? And he calls them the lost sheep of Israel. He tells them not to go minister to the Gentiles. And so this interaction in itself is quite fascinating simply because of two things, right? First, the Gentile woman recognizes Christ as the Son of God, or as the Son of David, and she comes to him as opposed to whatever deity she may have otherwise been worshiping. The second is that Christ is ministering to a Gentile, right? Someone outside the people that he called his disciples to go out to minister to, and people specifically he told them not to go to. And this kind of indicates that he is ultimately the savior for not just the Jews, but for the Gentiles as well. We'll come back at the end of this to kind of connect the two. So for the rest of, or for the next part, I'm going to focus on the Ephesians part. Today's passage is about anger. We first pick up the way Paul presents anger here, right? He says, "Be angry and do not sin." He separates both anger and sin as two separate things. He kind of puts it in a way that he expects you to be angry, right? Kind of like how we talk about fasting in SP, right? It's not if you fast, but when you fast. And so it's not if you get angry, but when you get angry. This passage isn't so much about anger per se, but more so about the escalation of our unresolved anger. So Paul also then writes that, do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not give the devil a foothold. Basically, kind of the consequences of what happens when we let our anger kind of take over us. And so Paul is advising us to resolve our anger and not let it fester. And so generally, I think we see anger as something bad, mostly because it's typically manifested in a unhealthy way. And so, we think of anger as people yelling, people raging, you know, if you're driving, if you're a driver of sorts, road rage, physical altercations, some pushing and some shoving, or just straight up abuse, just continuous verbal or physical abuse. However, I would like to say that anger in a vacuum is neither good nor bad. It is an emotion, but how we deal with it can be the good and bad. That could be the healthy and unhealthy, right? Our anger tells us that something is wrong. Something crossed our boundaries. Something that tells us that circumstances are affecting us now in a negative way. Things did not go as planned. Or it tells us that we lost control of something. Anger can be empowering and can help us motivate us to stand up for ourselves or seek justice, right? Some Jesus examples. And it's not typically seen as full-on anger, these first two, but the third one definitely. When Jesus defends Mary from Martha, there's a form of anger or annoyance, I put it, like where Jesus did not want Martha to take away Mary's, Mary's enjoyment of God's presence, or Christ's presence. Or the other time when the disciples was kind of telling the children to get away, but Jesus tells them, no, let them come, right? There was a slight breaking of a certain boundary from Jesus that Jesus was standing up to towards against his own disciples. And then this is the commonly known one, the part when Jesus goes and kind of flips tables at the temple and just clears out the temple. Because all of these things, whether it's Mary and Martha, whether it's the little children, or whether it's the people selling stuff at the temple, all these things, what violates Jesus isn't so much the things that were happening, but it stops people from coming to God. And that violates Christ's and boundaries, and that's when he kind of flips out or does something. A cultural reference, and you may argue that it's not actually healthy, but I thought of Inigo Montoya from the movie Princess Bride. This is a man, background is that his father was killed by this assassin, and he made it his life goal to seek revenge, right? And so the famous line is, my name is Inigo Montoya, you killed my father, now prepare to die. And so this movie was about him seeking, well, part of the story is him seeking this vengeance, right? And it's definitely bore out of anger because, you know, it's just vengeance. He's preparing to kill the man who murdered his father, right? I put this on the good side because it gave us a really cool line, and he did get his vengeance against someone that's actually villainous. Now, personally, what I saw for myself was this idea of activism. And when I was thinking about, like, it wasn't so much my own anger, but my mother's anger. I grew up in San Francisco, and I remember as a child, maybe I was 8 or 9. At that point, someone in the suburb near San Francisco in the Bay Area, an Asian man was shot because he got drunk and was causing some disturbance, and cops came, and long story short, the cop shot the man because he thought, because he's Asian, he knows martial arts, which is totally silly. There was a gathering of just an Asian community of people coming to kind of just protest in some way, or have a rally to kind of like say, we're not going to stand for this. And so my mother brought my brother and I to this because, you know, at that point we were still fresh immigrants sort of, but she also knew that this isn't right. And she was angry and knew that, you know, we have a voice and we need to exercise it because something about this isn't right. This violated her rights. I was just excited that I got out of Chinese school that day. But I still do remember just that day where we were there. And, you know, it may not have meant anything to me at that point, but it taught me that, look, anger can motivate us to do actually good things, right? Like activism isn't a bad thing. Standing up and speaking for ourselves against oppressors and stuff. And so, yeah. But, however, anger can also be destructive, right? If we allow anger and unforgiveness to go undealt with, that's when we give opening for the enemy, right? Just shortly, the biblical example thought of was Cain. Pastor Jackie shared about Cain earlier this week. I don't have to dive too much deeper into that. The cultural, I thought of Anakin Skywalker, where his anger festered, and it grew unhealthy, and his anger towards the Force, towards the light side, the Jedi, became overwhelming, and he fell under the dark side when he gave Palpatine, the dark side, a foothold, right? And then for myself personally, if you or any of my youth kids, you would know that I love talking about how I don't, when I'm walking at the MTR and people are looking at their phones and aren't really aware of where they're going, I don't like to move those people. I like to think I'm always in shape, and that shape is round, right? So I'm pretty wide-bodied, I got assets. And so I know I could walk through someone. And so, sometimes when I'm unhealthy, I don't seek out after it, but I get really riled up in that, like, I will, like, if I see someone, and I'm definitely not moving. Actually, even when I am healthy, I think I typically don't move. But the point is that in the moment when I see someone being unaware, I get angry. I feel like, look, you're crossing into my boundary because you are being selfish, and I'm not going to let you, I'm not going to stand for this. And so, yeah, I would not move for this person. And eventually, if we hit each other, I'm not going to be mad about it because, well, it's okay. I didn't move. Neither did you, so it's fair. If people get angry about it, my thing is that I will just keep walking because I can't let you think that I'm affected by this, because then you would win, and I won't let that happen. All this to say that in this letter, Paul's talking about living a life as a believer, right? In the beginning of this chapter, in chapter 4, he encourages the church in Ephesus to live like they're saved, right? That's the first verse in chapter 4. He emphasizes the need to be united with the church. And Ephesus was a church that had both Jews and Gentiles. And so the unification of Gentile Christians and traditional Jewish believers was relatively a big topic. For a bit, even Peter and Paul differed on some of these issues. So in calling for unity, Paul is asking them to stop whatever fighting and bickering that they may have with each other, because it's not worthy of the calling that God has for each and every one of them. Which brings us back to the interaction that Jesus had with the Canaanite woman. So once again, by showing this interaction, Matthew foreshadows the inclusion of Gentiles in God's kingdom, the kingdom of heaven, specifically to the intended Jewish audience. The New Testament letters points to growing pains and friction in dealing with new believers of a non-traditional Jewish background. There were always chats about, like, because we're Jewish, we were kind of like first in, we get first priority, we get like top loving from God or something, right? But Paul steps in here in this letter and reminds us that unresolved anger allows the enemy to come into our lives and open themselves up for spiritual attacks. And so all this bickering that was occurring, which, we don't exactly get it much exactly in detail what's happening here, but the fact that Paul is writing a letter and is addressing it means that this is known to Paul that, hey, this is something, right? Paul doesn't want them to keep fighting, and neither does he want, the church, whatever bickering that we may have or whatever disagreements that we eventually come to because we're human. He doesn't want that, definitely in his church, definitely in his kingdom. And so I'd like to invite Mon up for worship. So in our world today, and not just in Hong Kong, right, there's so much anger, especially now with COVID-19, and if a lot of non-Asian countries, there is a lot of anger towards Asians because they think all Chinese people eat bats or something. I don't know, something silly. But there's so much anger towards what's happening. But as those who are called to live a life worthy of the calling, let us rise above that and ask God for help to resolve the anger that we personally have, and do not give the enemy a foothold. Anger can be healthy, and it can be empowering, and it can help you. Let's do so in a healthy way.
Praise and end.
Father, we pray for those living in indigenous villages. Pray that they are able to maintain their heritage at the same time as being fully fledged members of society. We pray for those who specifically minister to this group. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's turn to the screen for our community prayer. Let's first pray for those who are going through just a time of cancer illness, for those who are diagnosed, and for those who are going through treatment. So let's lift them up. Also lift up the families, because it's not just a singular person thing. It's family and community. And let's just pray over the families especially. Let's lift up those who are in need of physical healing and salvation. So let's pray for them. Let's lift up the other folks in our community who are in need of healing. Let's lift up those who are in need of employment. Let's pray for God's providence, and that during this time of Sabbath, that they will be able to just to receive both materially and also spiritually from God. Let's pray for our mission focus. Let's lift up Japan for Peace Sophia and Jungmin and Hyunjin as they're in Tokyo trying to hit the ground running. Just pray for them as they're also having to deal with all the different virus barriers right now. Let's also lift up Cambodia. Let's lift up our missionary Grace. Let's lift up Ginger and Grace, and just pray that God will continue to minister through Grace to the people, both her employees and the people that come into their store. And let's lift up Pastor Jenny O and Oasis House, that as they continue to work on spiritual healing, that God will move powerfully through Pastor Jenny, as well as just everyone that's working at Oasis House. Let's lift up our missions council. PSAM, John Kang, Tim, Deborah, Ash, Sally, Mike. Pray for unity over just their meetings, and just as they guide us, especially now with a bunch of travel restrictions, that as they guide us Lord, may they just receive from you the different directions that you want to take us to this year, involving missions. And so let's lift up our missions council. Let's lift up local outreach. Let's pray for Agape, Homie, Freedom, Bridge, Recreation, SP Lights, with everything going on. I know for some of these ministries, it's been hard to go out and to reach out to those people. But let's pray for the ministries. Let's pray for the people that are being ministered in these ministries, that they are also safe, that they are also being taken care of, and that the relationships that we are able to build are continuing to foster in spite of all of this right now. Let's lift up SP Fam. Let's pray over Cadence and just and our church as we respond to the foster parenting situation here in Hong Kong. And just, yeah. Let's pray over our happenings here at church today, IP, SPU, and SP Youth, that each and every, each of these events will just have an encounter with God as he speaks, to guide our prayer team, to guide our university kids, to guide our youth kids. So let's lift up our gatherings. Let's lift up house churches that are meeting tonight. Elements Go, McCain, MacDaddy, and McRobinson. Whether it's physically, whether it's digitally, that God will be in wherever the members are today as they gather. So let's lift up house churches tonight. Let's lift up Hong Kong with new travel restrictions and all these things. It's just going to cause more hassle. But but let's continue to pray hard for Hong Kong, that we will get through this together, that we as the church, we will rise in faith. Even if it's just to live our lives normally, let that be a testimony of our faith. And let us spur one another on. So let's lift up Hong Kong. God, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for this morning. We thank you for meeting with us in this place today. And as we dive into our personal prayer time, Lord, we just ask that you continue to meet with us, encounter us, speak to us. And we have the discipline to listen, Abba Father God, of what you are doing so that we may join in with you. So God, we love you. We thank you. May we wrap up this week well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.